Nehemiah chapter 12 is where we're going to be tonight. We're actually going to come close to finishing the chapter, and we're getting close to the end of this book. And we looked at last week just a lot of different names. And, you know, as you go through some of these names, sometimes it just seems to be kind of monotonous. But there really is some amazing lessons that we can learn through these names. And we're going to come across some other lists and other names. But I think you'll find that in the passage that is before us tonight, the fact that the children of God at this time dedicated themselves is really one of the most magnificent lessons for us even today. Now, there are times in our lives that we do grow cold, isn't there? There are seasons in our life. There are seasons in our spiritual walk with God. We see seasons in nature. We have fall and then winter. Winter turns into spring. Spring will then turn into summer. And these cycles, these seasons continue to come and continue to go. There are seasons in life. We had a little infant in the nursery here this morning. From infancy, they turn not so cute into adolescence, right? And then they really get ugly and become adults. And then by, you know, a few years pass, and then they become ancient, right? So we have these seasons of life. They come and they go. Well, we also see that there are seasons in our spiritual life also. There are seasons in our walk with God. As much as we wish that this were not the case, as much as we wish that we were 100% consistent, faithful to God, we know that that's not always the case. There are seasons. There are times when we are hot. There are times when we are cold. There are times when we are lukewarm. In fact, if you just go to the first few chapters of Revelation and see the churches that the Lord Jesus was writing to and speaking to, we see a wide variety of churches in Christian spiritual condition and their walk with God. We have those from churches that were still on fire for the Lord, and then we have some that were cold. In fact, in Revelation 2:4, Jesus said to the church at Ephesus, "I have somewhat against thee." Even his own church, people that are in his own church. And he said, "I have something against you because thou hast left thy first love." Sometimes we do go through a season where we have left our first love. And we go through a season of coldness and of even hardness in our life. And it's in times like these that we need to renew our dedication for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what we find taking place in Nehemiah chapter 12. We need to remember that the Jews here were the people of God. So as we consider the Jewish nation, they are those who have already committed themselves to God. They were chosen by God, and they were living for God and serving God. And so they are much a symbol and a type of believers today and of the church today. And we know that the Jews who were in Jerusalem, where they just rebuilt the city walls, Jerusalem was considered the city of God. It was called the holy city. But we know the life and the history of the Jewish nation. There were times where they were on fire for God. They were hot. And yet there were times also another season came and they cooled off. And they fell from the Lord. They failed in their sin against the Lord. And so God would constantly use chastisement to draw them back into the fold and draw them back to a season of fervency and of use. And we know that this still goes on in our life. In Hebrews 12:6, it says, "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives." And so he is drawing us back, trying to get us to be more faithful, more pure, more holy, and more on fire for God. Well, that's what he did here in Nehemiah. He started to rebuild the people of Jerusalem and the people of God. They had already gone through a time of Babylonian captivity. They had sinned against God. God promised that this would take place. He told them they would be punished, and it happened because they did not remain true and faithful to the Lord. And so, he did punish them. He chastened them in order to draw them back. And so finally, after years have gone by, some 50 to 70 years of captivity, God is slowly bringing them back into Jerusalem and into the nation of Judah. And so we see, especially in the book of Nehemiah, that the Lord is rebuilding them. The Lord isn't just so focused on walls or on a temple, but on the people of God. He starts to rebuild them through effective spiritual leaders like Ezra and Nehemiah, who were contemporaries. Ezra came before Nehemiah, and then Nehemiah followed after. And so these two men God raised up for that time in order to draw the people back. He started to rebuild them through prayer. Remember, Nehemiah was a man of great, effective prayer. He was a man that prayed there in Persia while he was still a cupbearer for the king. He prayed even during the time as they were building, praying for security and for safety. He was a man of prayer. God uses prayer to rebuild His people. That is one of the reasons why prayer is to be so essential to us as a church. He started to rebuild His people through practical projects. This is one of the ways that God uses to rebuild His people, through practical projects. The rebuilding of the temple, the rebuilding of the walls. In our church, the rebuilding here to make it handicapped accessible. He uses some of these things in order to draw us back to Him and renew that fire and that fervor for the Lord Jesus Christ. He rebuilt them through the Word of God, ultimately. In fact, in chapter 8, where we looked at that great time of worship of the people of God. And so this is how God was drawing them back, rebuilding them, in order for them to be used by Him once again. Now, the purpose of this rebuilding we find in verse 27, which is the first verse of our text. It talks about the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem. A dedication. Now, obviously, these walls had been there before, so it wasn't a new dedication. Rather, it was a rededication. And so this is something that needs to take place in the lives of the people of God when they find themselves in a season of coldness and even of hardness. It is a time to renew their dedication for the Lord and their commitment to Him. Because after all that the Lord had done for them, He deserved their all. In fact, think about what the Lord has done. Already in Nehemiah, God has given them security. After all the different enemies that were around them, literally surrounding them from the north, south, east, and west, they were surrounded by people that did not want them to succeed, yet God protected them, didn't He? And even though the people had a trowel in one hand and a sword and a shield in the other, yet God protected them and gave them security. Then ultimately God gave them success, even through the difficulties that they had. The wall was completed, and then He sanctifies them through the Word of God. God is doing all this for them, and now we come to chapter 12, verse 27, at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem. Finally, the people of God are together and realize that they are there because of God, and now they ought to rededicate themselves to Him. It's time to surrender everything to the Lord. And that we need to remember as well. It is time for us, both individually and as a church, to renew our commitment and dedication to the Lord. To surrender everything that we are to Him and everything that we have to Him because of all that He has done and all that He will do for us. It is time for us tonight, as we look at the rededication here of the wall of Jerusalem, it is time for us tonight, as Christians and as a church, to rededicate ourselves to serving the Lord. We're going to see three aspects of this dedication. The first we see in verses 27 through 29, that there is to be a readiness for dedication. There is to be a readiness for dedication. Are you ready to renew your commitment to the Lord? For the Jews, it didn't happen right away. And we see that rededication is not emotionally based. It's not just something where we get our emotions riled up and now I'm going to commit myself. No, it is a conscious choice. Because of who God is and what He has done for us. Now, it does involve the emotions, but ultimately it starts in the heart and the will to rededicate ourselves, and that's what happened to the children of Israel here. It did affect their emotions, but it didn't happen right away. You see, God, through 11 chapters now, has been preparing them for this time of rededication. 11 chapters. He could have done it at the very beginning. He could have said, okay, Nehemiah came back to Jerusalem, he rebuilt the walls, and they dedicated it. No, but rather He is preparing us, the writer of this book is preparing us to this time of dedication, showing us that there is a period of readiness, preparation to dedication for the Lord. In fact, we've already seen in some of these lists that the writer points back to a time 100 years earlier. And so for that vast period of time, He's showing that God, throughout that entire time, is preparing them to dedicate themselves and renew their commitment to the Lord. And we find in this, beginning verse 27, that they were ready. They were ready. They were ready to dedicate themselves to God. They were ready in practice, it says in verse 27. And at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites. These Levites, we've seen many, many times throughout this book, the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication. Now, the Levites had already been to Jerusalem several times, and we can picture them coming to Jerusalem and going, coming and going, coming and going. In chapter 3, the Levites came to Jerusalem to help build the wall. Then in chapter 8, the Levites came back to Jerusalem to help teach the people the Word of God. Then in chapter 11, some of the Levites came back to Jerusalem to help repopulate the city. Now, they've been to their homes in order to serve their families, but they remained ready because they knew at any moment Nehemiah could say, "Okay, Levites, it is time to come back to Jerusalem again, but this time we're going to rededicate our city wall and we're going to rededicate the city people to the Lord." They remained ready to be called back into service at any time. And it says that they returned. They were brought out from all of their places, and they brought them to Jerusalem, it says. Now I can imagine a great parade of hundreds, maybe even thousands of men, of Levites, leaving their homes in the villages around Jerusalem and going directly to the center of Jerusalem in order to go there to dedicate themselves, their people, their city, and their wall to the Lord. You see, they knew that they wanted to be used by God the way He originally intended. They were ready. They were ready. The word dedication here, the dedication of the wall, is a very interesting word. It means to consecrate something to be used in the service of God and His people. The things that we dedicate to the Lord, it's not just to the Lord, it's a dedication to serve others as well. We looked at that component this morning. How God saved us, not just to display His love to us, but then that we share that same love to others. There is that community component. And it was the same in this dedication service. They were dedicating and consecrating the walls and everything inside those walls to be used in the service of God for His people. Now that word dedication is very interesting. We have the word, or the Hebrew word is Hanukkah. Now that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Happy Hanukkah, all right, comes near Christmas time. What is this talking about? Happy dedication. Well, we find in the Bible that there were several dedications of the people of God, especially about buildings and walls. The very first temple, the Solomon's temple, was dedicated. There was a dedication. There was a Hanukkah, okay? There was Ezra's temple. If you read in Ezra, there was a time of dedication of that temple. There was a Hanukkah. Here we have the dedication of the wall. That's a Hanukkah. However, there was the next temple, Herod's temple, the temple that was rebuilt and basically refurbished during the time of Herod. This is during the 400 silent years when it was recorded by Judas Maccabeus. And these are some of the books that we might have in the Apocrypha. But that was the time when they had another dedication, another Hanukkah. And the Hanukkah that is celebrated today refers to that temple's dedication. But still, it points back to all the times when the people of Israel were rededicating themselves to God. Very interesting for us to realize that these people were ready to dedicate themselves to God at a moment's notice. They were ready. And you know, that's the way our attitude should be. Sometimes we do fail the Lord. Sometimes we do fall away from the Lord. There are these seasons where we grow hot and then we grow cold. And we wish it weren't that way, but we know that it is, and we need to be ready. We need to be ready in practice. Always be close to the Lord. Always be close to His Word, because when the fire dies out, the only way it's going to be relit is by getting back to the Lord Himself. They were ready to return, and we need to be as well. They were also ready in purpose. It goes on in verse 27. This is the setting. This is the attitude of the dedication service. It says that they came with gladness. With gladness. This wasn't some somber occasion. This was an occasion of celebration. With gladness. And this gladness was expressed with thanksgivings and with singing. And in order to help them sing, they used cymbals and psalteries and with harps. Dedication to the Lord is, yes, an important time, a somber time, but it's most importantly to be a time of joy and gladness, because it's not looking about us, it's looking to the Lord and what He's done. It was a celebration here, not of themselves, but of the Lord. And we see that they celebrated with their mouths, They expressed it in thanksgiving and singing. They gave testimonies of what God had done. I can imagine some of these people that had built the walls that they were just about to walk on. And as they built these walls, and as they are there celebrating this, they raised their hand and gave a testimony. You know, when we were working on this wall, there were some enemies just a few hundred feet away, and we were afraid, but God gave us the courage and the strength to rebuild the walls. And I can hear testimony after testimony. This is why we do this, because it helps us express our dedication and commitment to the Lord. It's not just to fill up time. It's to fill up our souls with God. And they expressed it with their mouths, and then they celebrated the Lord with their music. And in order for it to be beautiful music and have a great variety of music, they used a cymbal, the psaltery, and the harp. Now, the cymbal obviously is a percussion instrument. It was very loud. It was something that could be heard all throughout the city and even beyond the city so that people could hear their joy in the Lord. They used a psaltery. Now, a psaltery and a harp were there were two different kinds of harps. A psaltery was a harp that had different lengths of string. Kind of like the piano here, if you were to open this up, you'll see that the strings, many of them, are different lengths. And so they were all the same diameter, but they were different lengths, and so you could get different tunes on the psaltery. The harp was a different kind because all of the strings were the same length, but they had a different diameter, and we have the same in our piano as well. So we have a kind of a combination of a psaltery and a harp in the piano. But they used these different musical instruments in order to celebrate their dedication for the Lord. And you know, if we really are dedicated to the Lord, He will bring us joy. He will bring us joy. Yes, sometimes there's going to be a conviction of our sin, but after that period of mourning, after that period of sorrow, joy will come. I like how Matthew Henry put it. He says, "We have read already in the book of Nehemiah, we have read of the building of the wall of Jerusalem with a great deal of fear and trembling. And we have here in chapter 12 an account of the dedicating of the wall with a great deal of joy and triumph. And it shows to us the principle in Scripture, those that sow in tears shall reap in joy." They sowed in tears. They sowed in fear. They sowed in trembling. They sowed in much labor. And now they were reaping with joy unspeakable and full of glory. They were ready. They were ready to, in their purpose, celebrate who God is and what He has done. But they were also ready to dedicate themselves in public. You see, dedication is very personal. It is something that we all individually must do. But also, even though dedication is very personal, it's never private. It's never private. You cannot dedicate yourself to God without other people knowing about it. You can't be a secret Christian. You can't be a private Christian. Dedicated child of God. No, it's going to be something that will be heard and seen all around you. We know those who are dedicated to the Lord, wholeheartedly committed, because you see it in their lives, you hear it in their voice, you just sense the Spirit in them, and you recognize it. Here they were also ready to dedicate themselves in public. They were not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Look at verse 28. "And the sons of the singers gathered themselves together, both out of the plain country round about Jerusalem and the villages of Netophathi, also from the house of Gilgal and out of the fields of Geba and Asmaveth, for the singers had builded them villages round about Jerusalem." Now they could have stayed home in their villages. And it gives some areas all the way around Jerusalem from the south region all the way to the north. But instead of staying home and saying, "Well, I can commit to God here," instead of doing that, it says that they gathered together. They gathered themselves together in order to dedicate themselves publicly, not just privately. And they did so through public praise. They kept coming from wherever they were, and they kept Jerusalem at the center. They were ready to dedicate themselves in public. And you know, this is something that God calls for us. We must not be ashamed of His church. We must not be ashamed of our Christ. We must not be ashamed of His Word. We must not be ashamed of His gospel. A dedicated Christian will not be one just in private, but also in public. And so, having gathered in Jerusalem, now these children of Israel were ready to rededicate themselves all to the Lord. Everything that they were and everything that they had. And really, this is an example of what we ought to do every time we meet. Every time we meet ought to be a public display of rededication to the Lord. How prepared are we? Are we ready to dedicate ourselves every time we meet here together, whether it's a Sunday morning, Sunday night, or even Wednesday night? It ought to be a symbol of our rededication to the Lord, where we come and not necessarily just be fed, but also to give of our life to the Lord. That's what we're here for. God, I am going to rededicate my life to you today. And this is a constant battle because we're constantly going through seasons of coldness and hardness. We need to be ready for dedication as they were in practice, in purpose, but ultimately in public. We need to get ready by focusing our attention on the Lord and His Word. And then the second thing that we see about this dedication is that there are requirements for dedication. There are requirements for dedication. Now, only a true believer can rededicate themselves to the Lord, because they have to be dedicated in the first place. So these requirements that we see in Nehemiah 12 are for believers. They were necessary for the children of Israel. They are necessary for the children of God, for us. One requirement that we see in verse 30 is that of purification. It says, "And the priests and the Levites, there at this dedication ceremony, purified themselves and purified the people and the gates and the wall." Now, this purification was probably a ceremonial or ritual kind of purification. But it did not exclude a moral purification. One writer puts it this way: ritual purification was intended to teach God's holiness and moral purity. Now, of course, there were a lot of ceremonial laws, and the priests and the Levites had to abide by them. They had to wash their clothes. They had to wash their bodies. They had to offer sacrifices of purification. Sometimes they had a special water of purification that they would sprinkle on themselves, on the altars. They would sprinkle it on the people. Here we see that they sprinkled it even on the walls and the gates themselves. And so, obviously, we know that that water doesn't do anything. But what was the point? The point was, it was a symbol of what was going on in their hearts. They wanted to please God. They wanted to do what was right before God. And so this was not just a ritual purification, but it was, in fact, a moral purification. And that's the kind of purification that we need in our life in order to rededicate ourselves to Him. Now, our rededication is not to be found in works, but rather it's to be found in grace, in Christ alone. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us." That's that purification. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you want to rededicate yourself to God, you know what you do? You don't say, "Okay, God, I'm going to go out and I'm going to stop looking at those things. Or I'm not going to stop listening to that kind of music. And I'm going to stop reading that internet site. I'm going to just stop doing that and I'm going to live a moral life." That's not rededication. Rededication is where we come to God and say, "God, I am a wicked and unuseful servant. And God, the only way that I can be useful is if you purify me and cleanse me." It's not through works, it's through grace. Just the way we were saved is the way we're sanctified. And we ask God, "Forgive me. Forgive me and cleanse me once again. Renew this life." And that is the kind of rededication that He desires, so that we will be pure instruments for Him to use. You see, the works of righteousness, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us through the washing and the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. This is what He uses to continue to purify us and use us. So yes, we are to be purified, but that purity comes through Christ alone. Now this purification needs to be pervasive. I like it in verse 30 because it shows us that everything was purified. First, it started with the leaders. It says that the Levites purified themselves. Now, this is a pretty important thing. When we recognize that they purified themselves first before they did anything else. Those who consider themselves to be leaders within our church and within our families need to make sure that they're purified. Their lives and hearts are purified by the grace of God before they can ever go and help others with their purification. But after they were right with God, then it went to the people and they encouraged them to be purified. And then they did it in a ceremonial way, dedicating the gates and the wall to the Lord. But we see that purification is essential for dedication. You cannot be dedicated if you just think that you're going to be able to go out and do no wrong. You're dedicated when you realize that your purity comes through Christ alone. But then we see also in verse 31 the requirement of praise. You cannot dedicate yourself to the Lord without praise. He says, "Then I brought up the princes of Judah." This is Nehemiah speaking. "Then I brought up the princes of Judah upon the wall and appointed two great companies of them that gave thanks." We're going to stop there for a moment. This dedication was about to take place. They were ready. And the dedication wasn't going to just be about the wall. Get this. The dedication was going to be on the wall. Isn't that exciting? The dedication here involved two great companies. Now, they probably met at the Valley Gate. And if you have on your lesson guides on the back there, there's a picture of Jerusalem. And if you look on the left-hand side toward the middle, there is the Valley Gate. The Valley Gate is on the west side. Okay. Now, something very interesting. Here they have, at the Valley Gate, a great company. Actually, two great companies. Most of the people were right there at the Valley Gate. And each company was there to praise and to give thanks to the Lord. And we see that this is the kind of heart that is absolutely necessary for dedication. A heart of praise. This is why Nehemiah brought them together. It was a celebration of what God had done. And they were going to give praise. And so they met there at the Valley Gate in order to start the dedication ceremony. And then we find what they do. We find that in beginning verse 31, it describes the first company. The first company went on the wall to the south. So as we look at the picture there on the map, half of the company, or one full company, went on the wall to the south toward the dung gate. Now, that's a great picture and a reminder of what was going on earlier. If you remember, the wall wasn't there just a few months before. Remember, Nehemiah couldn't even walk around the entire city because the wall was completely in ruins. And now, they're walking on the wall. The first company is going to the south. Let's pick it up in verse 31. It says, "Whereof one company that gave praise and thanks to the Lord, one company went to the right hand." So if you're looking toward the Valley Gate, they were going to the right or to the south. "Upon the wall." Upon the wall. They were walking on the wall toward the Dung Gate. And after them, we have a list of some of the leaders that went. After them went Hoshea and half of the princes of Judah. Verse 33, "And Azariah, Ezra, and Meshulam, Judah and Benjamin, and Shemaiah and Jeremiah, and certain of the priest's sons with trumpets, namely, Zechariah," who must have been a very important son of the priest. He was the son of Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Micaiah, the son of Zakur, the son of Asaph, who was that great musician during David's time. And then, also with him, were his brethren, Shemaiah and Azrael, Milalai, Gilalai, Mai, Nethaneel, and Judah, Hanani, with musical instruments of David, the man of God. And there is Ezra the scribe before them. And at the fountain gate, which was over against them, as they were rounding the bottom side of Jerusalem, as they rounded the fountain gate, they went up by the stairs of the city of David, at the going up of the wall, where it started to go a little bit higher, above the house of David, even to the water gate. If you notice on the right-hand side, there's the water gate eastward. And so we have the first company walking on the wall that they were dedicating to the Lord that just a few months earlier they couldn't even gotten around. And here we have Ezra. Ezra, the one that had helped rebuild the temple in the first place, the main leader of the group. Now, if you trace where they went all along the wall, something interesting is pointed out. They actually went on the same path that Nehemiah originally went on during his midnight mission in chapter 2. Remember that? The very first moment as he gets there to Jerusalem from Persia, and he went at night. He wanted to go and survey Jerusalem. So he got on an animal, and he started to go south toward the Dung Gate. He went on the outside, and he started going south. He started going up toward the Fountain Gate, and what happened? It was so torn down that he couldn't go any further. He had to get off of his animal. He went down into the valley, and then he continued his route all the way around Jerusalem to see what was going on. And now, finally, after months of hard work and dangerous labor, finally, they're actually on the wall that God helped them build, victorious and ready to rededicate themselves to the Lord. You see, we realize that another requirement for dedication is participation. These people participated not just in the building, but even in the dedication of the wall. Real dedication does not take place alone. It doesn't take place in a vacuum. It will spread. It will spread and involve everyone. Fire begets fire. Do you want to know why people aren't dedicated in our church or in your family? Perhaps it's because you're not dedicated to the Lord with that kind of fervency and fire. It's amazing to see what God can do through one person like Nehemiah, and look how that fire spread. Where does it start? Sometimes it starts with one individual, one person that God has moved and is working in to have that fire lit in their hearts and to rededicate themselves, and then it will involve everyone else. And that's why we all are called to rededicate our lives to the Lord. There are requirements: purification, participation, and ultimately praise. But then, one of the great things that we see in this chapter is that there will be, point three, results for dedication. There are results. It was pretty obvious that these people were rededicated to the Lord. It was obvious. And you know, it's obvious to your family, to your church, to the people around you, if you are really dedicated to the Lord. It's obvious. Because there will be a renewed focus. We see this in verses 38 through 40. Now, we already looked at the first company that went to the south. Now, beginning of verse 38, we see a description of the second company. And they went on the wall to the north. Again, they're at the valley gate. They go left. The other ones went right. Picking up in verse 38, and the other company of them that gave thanks, that was their primary responsibility here, of praising God, the other company of them that gave thanks went over against them. That means they went opposite. The one group went right. They go left. And Nehemiah says, I went after them. And here's the other people that came. And half of the people upon the wall. And this is where they went. You can even trace it on your map. From beyond the tower of the furnaces, even into the broad wall, and from above the gate of Ephraim, and above the old gate, and above the fish gate, and the tower of Hananeel, and the tower of Maiah, even unto the sheep gate, and they stood still in the prison gate. So stood, verse 40, the two companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God. And so we find here that the second company was led by Nehemiah, that main leader. And they passed over many of the same locations that they had just built. In fact, if you go back in chapter 3, you're going to recognize some of the names of the gates. And what are they doing? They're walking along the wall, even going by and over some of the same gates that they were building. Now, amazing how these people would be thinking about, hey, we just built this. We just built this area. Hey, Joe, this is the area that we were working on. Hey, Bill, look at this area. Aren't you excited? Now we can serve God within the city of Jerusalem. I like how Derek Kidner wrote. He says, every inch of these ramparts had its special memory for one group or another. And as they are all walking on those walls, they're remembering what God had done. That is dedication. Now look where these companies ended up. Verse 40, both companies, the ones to the south, the ones to the north. Verse 40, it says, so stood the two companies, both of them, that gave thanks. Where? In the house of God. This was their renewed focus. The walls were just the circumference. But rather, the focal point was the celebration of God in His temple. It's a picture of them returning to the Lord, and that's really what rededication is. Is turning back to the Lord. And the fact is, He's never far away, is He? We're the ones that have turned our backs on God. God has never turned His back on us. And so when we rededicate ourselves, we will end up with that same kind of renewed focus. We will end up where the presence of God is, just like they did. Where's our focus? We will see dedication in our life if our focus is on God and His Word and His people and His church. That is where dedication is. And then another response or another result is a renewed fellowship. And then Nehemiah now lists in the last part of verse 40 those who are with his company. He says in the last part of verse 40, and I, and half of the rulers with me, and the priests, Eliakim, Maaseiah, Miniamin, Micaiah, Eli-Oenai, now that's quite a name, Zechariah and Hananiah with trumpets, and Maaseiah and Shemaiah and Eleazar and Uzziah and Jehohanan and Malchijah and Elam and Ezer, and the singers sang loud with Jezrehiah, their overseer. Here we have the list of the second company. And you know what? If you actually list the names and the type of people that were there, it's a mirror example of what the first company was. They had equal amounts of people going around the walls from both different angles. Kind of just an interesting tidbit of how they were moving. Each company had a Thanksgiving choir. Each company had a governor, like Nehemiah. Each company had half of the princes and the officials. Each company had seven priests with trumpets. Each company had eight instrumentalists or singers. And each company had one main musical leader. And it shows us that they rededicated themselves together. So even though they may have had different responsibilities, they all came together in order to praise God and dedicate themselves. And that shows me that there's great variety and diversity within our church. And wherever we are, wherever God has called us to serve outside of this place, what should we do? We should come back in here and still renew our dedication to the Lord together. And I like the name of Jezrehiah in verse 42. The name of Jezrehiah means the Lord will shine. And isn't that what happens when there's real fellowship going on within the people of God? The Lord will shine. That's what it means when we have real fellowship. Psalm 133 verse 1 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." That's the kind of fellowship that will take place when we really have renewed our commitment and dedication to the Lord. And then another result is a renewed function. Verse 43 says, Also, if that was enough, at that day they offered great sacrifice. You know, another result of dedication is giving. Because when we rededicate ourselves to Him, we're going to recognize that everything that we have and everything that we are belong to Him anyways. And that's the way we ought to approach life. The money that I have, the property that I have, the clothes that I have, everything that I have belongs to Him anyways. So when I'm giving, I'm not actually sacrificing too much. Just giving back what He's given to me. Do we give that way? If there is real dedication in our life, this is the kind of giving that will take place. And then there will also be another result, a renewed feeling. A renewed feeling. And that feeling is one of joy. Joy. Not a contrived joy, not a fake joy, not one that is drummed up, but it is one that is genuine from the heart. Look at the last part of verse 43. And we rejoiced. Why? Because God had made them rejoice with great joy. It did come from the heart. The wives also and the children rejoiced. It shows that it was everyone in the family was involved. So that the joy, get this, the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. Wow, that's dedication, is it not? There is no greater joy that God can give than when we are completely dedicated to Him. And we see that this dedicated involved everyone. Imagine what it would look like if everyone in your family and everyone in our church truly had this kind of dedication and commitment to the Lord. But where does it start? It starts with you. It starts with me, doesn't it? It starts with us. And as fire begets fire, as Nehemiah, as God had lit that fire under Nehemiah, you know what happened? It spread. It starts with us. These are some of the amazing results of dedication to the Lord. But it starts and ends with Him. In the book written by James McConkie, The Surrendered Life, he writes that there are two men that were walking by the banks of a river at the twilight hour. One of these men said, "The world has yet to see what God can do with one man that is wholly dedicated to Him." His companion stopped and said, "Say that again." Again, his friend repeated, "The world has yet to see what God can do with one man wholly dedicated to Him." And lifting his hand in the twilight, Dwight L. Moody said, "By the grace of God, I will be that man." And he went forth to do a work for God and His kingdom, such as has been given to but few of His servants. Here was the reason for the great evangelist's power. wholly dedicated to the will of God. He was transformed and filled by the Spirit of God, and therefore empowered to do the work of God. Like the people of Israel at this day, it is time for us to rededicate ourselves to the Lord in this way.